would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, all right, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Welcome to St. John Forward Radio. I'm John Forward. Oh, joined by unexpected special second guest. We'll hear from them later. But anyway, live every Monday night, except for the next 2 weeks. We'll get to that later. But on local FM here, 9 p.m. on Mondays, 107.3 FM or localfm.ca streaming. You can listen to back episodes on johnforward.podbean.com. Another week, another sore, broken old man body I have. I made some more progress fixing up that room in my house last week. I put the floors down and was a broken man. I'm slightly less broken. Yesterday all we did was put on the baseboards and started moving stuff back into it with my dear wife May, who only had 3 or 4 panic attacks about using the saw, the nail gun, and moving heavy objects down the stairs. That was pretty good. All of my, CDs, DVDs, Blu-rays, and books, and all kinds of stuff have been boxed up around my house, for months and months. Not that I need that stuff day to day, but it's nice to be able to consolidate that stuff instead of it just being, in random places around the house, and I've got somewhere to put stuff away when I'm done with it now, instead of just piling up on my computer desk. Main draw, I'm looking forward to having a nice room tucked away in the corner of my basement that I can hide in. Still the best way for me to remember a set when it's new or I haven't done it in a while is to fire up my app and microphone and run through my set alone in a room by myself a few times. Which I will note, the process has gotten a lot easier since I stopped smoking weed. But it's nice to, I'll have a room where the wife doesn't need to walk through it to get to the laundry room or to her sewing room or to her dollies. I'll be off in the corner by myself. Speaking of doing comedy in a empty room, No Jokes Barred returned this weekend. Had our first show at Foundations, and it was fun. Aside from Arif Hussein and David Hall, who were appreciated, they came out. But other than that, the only comics who showed up were the ones that were booked on the show, which is disappointing. There was a couple other shows on the same night. There was an improv show that covers you, Dan Terrio, and Cornerstone. There was a couple more people on that one. That accounts for some of the absences, but I don't know. There's a lot, at least... conservatively, half of the comedians in St. John don't seem to come out to any shows that, unless they're on them, which is kind of a bummer. I don't expect everybody to come to every show, but make an effort. It's a busy time, but we need all the stage time that we can get around here, and the easiest way that we can boost the attendance is with the people that have an interest in the show's existence. So, aside from the comics, we had about 10 or 12 more people that I think most of them heard about it through the bar. And it was fun. It felt like a No Jokes Barred show through and through. Everybody there seemed to have a good time on and off the stage. I could see No Jokes Barred sticking with Foundations, and they seem happy to have us. And it feels nice to be wanted, but I don't know if I'm ready to settle down just yet. I just came out of a long-term, often abusive relationship with the R-Bar, and reluctant to jump on the first thing that I see. I mean, we had a good first date, for sure, and it felt comfortable, reminded me a lot about the things I used to love about the R-Bar, but I'm just wondering if it's too familiar. It's attached to the same parking lot. There was a drunk guy yelling at the stage that he doesn't know how to use the ATM. Different version of a drunk guy yelling, but it's still very familiar. I don't think No Jokes Barred is ready for a monogamous relationship with a bar yet this quick. I want to play the field a little bit. You know, maybe foundations will build. Maybe it will be just as good as the R Bar was at its peak, but maybe we can do better. And I'm just worried if we settle down into something familiar, I'm just going to end up repeating old patterns. You know, because, you know, getting dumped by the R Bar might be a chance for the show to grow. And this might be the beginning of a whole new life for No Jokes Barred. Maybe it can be bigger and better and something I'm not ashamed to introduce my friends and family to. I mean, there wasn't anything wrong with Foundations. It was fun and there's potential. But, you know, the R Bar was No Jokes Barred's first relationship. And I can't help but worry that that I'm selling it short by jumping right into another fixer-upper comedy show relationship. Because, you know, when you're in an abusive relation like that for so long, it kind of eats away at your confidence, and you start to think that maybe it was all your fault, and maybe you don't deserve to have a nice venue with a big audience. you start to think that maybe you don't even deserve a show with an entrance on the street or a listing on Google Maps. But, you know, I'm going to show around for a couple of months and see what my options are before settling down. And don't get me wrong, I do want to eventually settle down. That's the only way that we can, you know, grow as a show and build something. But No Jokes Barred just needs a little time to find itself and decide exactly what it wants from a long-term venue. So this afternoon, I asked another venue for a date, and they said yes. So next month, I'll try something a little more exotic. We're going to have No Jokes Barred at Taco Pica on January 19th, and excited to see how that goes. It's a little weird being kind of Eskimo brothers with Ian Esty. He's been in both of those venues, so... It's a little weird going and doing comedy shows at Foundations and Taco Pica and having Ian's sloppy seconds. But I've got another sexy little venue that I've got my eye on for February, and just waiting for a friend to introduce us before I make a move. But hopefully by March, I'll be ready to get engaged and settle down and start the new No Jokes Barred family. But for now, we're just gonna see how it goes. And I'm joined in the studio by one guest who's behind the computer and I can't see his face. His name is David Miles Holland Hall, and also Austin Hill is here. How are you guys doing?
Alive.
Good.
Good to hear. So we'll talk to them. There's a new comedy show in town, and David started it, and he's dumping it off on Austin immediately.
Thank you.
So we'll talk about that later. And they were both at No Jokes Barred on Saturday, so we'll see what their take is on it. But you know, I don't want anybody to worry about No Jokes Barred. We came out of something. Ended up living in the streets, in the parking lot, doing a show in November, but we'll survive.
At first I was afraid, I was petrified. I kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights just thinking how you'd done me wrong. I grew strong, I learned how to get along. And so you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here without that look upon your face. I should have changed my fucking lock. I would have made you leave your key if I'd have known for just one second you'd be back to bother me. Oh, now go walk out the door. Just turn around. Now you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to break?
break me with desire? Did you think I'd crumble? Did you think I'd lay down? Of my broken heart, and I've spent oh so many nights just feeling sorry for myself. I used to cry, but now I hold my head up high, and you see me with somebody new. I'm not that stupid little person still in love with you, and so you thought you'd just drop by and you expect me to be free, but now I'm saving all my loving for someone who's loving me. Oh, now go walk out the door, just turn around. Now you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to break me with desire? Did you think I'd crumble? Did you think I'd lay down and die? Oh, now to live, I've got all my love to give. I will survive, I will survive. Yeah, yeah.
Just talking about Canadian music here at Campus Radio. We're just discussing why there's a different section for Maritime as opposed to Canadian. It's just, it's more specific. Some shows want to play Maritime stuff, some want to play Canadian stuff, and some of them are technically spoken word shows, and the original intro and outro music counts enough to hit that 15% Canadian content mark. Considering there's 45 minutes of brand new Canadian talking content, so we're not too worried about playing those American songs. But yeah, they're slowly redwashing the library here and eliminating all of the non-Canadian CDs. But we're fighting against the power here and playing these American bands like bad Canadians. Isn't that right, David and Austin? I said your name weird. Austin.
Austin. Austin from Boston. Yeah, I guess. There's, I don't know what bugs me. Maritime and Canadian, they're all in the same area, but they're side by side.
Yeah,
I think if they're going to subcategory like maritimes, it should also be like prairie provinces and more categories.
Well, yeah, maybe they should. We're kind of racist against the other province. Not the other provinces. Maritime and local, though, you would think that there would be a specific section, at least for local, that's... We could
narrow then another subcategory for St. John.
Yeah.
Right.
Just get real niche here.
Oh, maybe like a North End category, a West Side category.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We need to have at least one band on every street in St. Right. John in a different section in the play box.
They don't have to be good. They just have to be there.
Right.
Yeah, that's the motto for Canadian content and music and comedy. It doesn't have to be good. It just has to be there.
Also my motto for dating people.
It's true.
You just
got to be there for somebody.
Well, that's
they just have to be there for me.
Yeah.
They don't have to be good.
Well, yeah, and that's the situation I'm worried about with No Jokes Barred. So you guys were at the show, Austin, celebrating your 13-month anniversary.
Oh, yeah? I almost got a year, and then they got canceled on me.
Well, were you at the parking lot show?
I wasn't. Okay. I was actually at a province. Otherwise, I would have done my dirty 1 year party there.
Well, you can watch the video and laugh at home and remember the good times.
I remember when I was there. The fog of memories. A lot of black coats.
So and David, unannounced special guest. That's what you get when you show up at the show to watch. If there's time, then you get Squoze in.
Right.
So what did you guys think of the return?
It was good. Long time coming. Felt lonely without a No Jokes Fired regular.
Yeah.
I needed my life. Large venue. A lot of space. I felt safer there, kind of.
There was less menace than at the R Bar.
Less gambling machines going on in the background.
Yeah.
I felt welcome, too. Like, I didn't feel like we were, like, in the way of the employees.
Yeah.
No, it's cool. It's kind of, yeah, they actually reached out to me to put on the show. They saw the ad for the parking lot show and said, hey, we've got something going on that night, but if you guys don't want to be out in the cold, you can do the show here. Because they aren't open every night. They're only open when there's specifically something going on. So, hiccups. So that's kind of an open for special events sort of a situation. And I'm welcome to go back whenever I want to, unless they have something else double booked on top of it.
But, unless anything better comes up, in which case we're not allowed to go back.
Yeah. Well, if I'm going to settle down for somewhere, I'm going to at least have the agreement that we've got the third Saturday of the month or something. So that, yeah. Which I'm not sure that's going to be possible for Taco Pika. I'd have to have the conversation. So far, it's just been a Facebook message. But... yeah, because, I'd feel bad, like, if some touring... Because bands play at Taco Pika. There isn't much else going on at Foundation, so I don't think there's not much coming through there that's going to bump us. But, I don't know, I'd feel bad if some touring band is coming in and we're in St. John one night only. Taco Pika, can you help us? No, sorry, we've got 12 people coming out.
We've got locals who come to every show. I've been wondering with Taco Pika, I think our risk of walking some people that are just going for some dining goes way up.
There's even starting at 9. That is a concern. It's a No Jokes Barred show, but there is going to be some people that are eating their supper, and a comedy show is going to break out around them.
What happened in life more often.
Which is dicey. Luckily, Santos, I'm not sure, I've only talked to him a couple of times, but English is not his first language, so he's not going to necessarily know how offensive the show is.
That's probably for the best.
He actually offered, he wanted me to put on shows there a while ago, and I didn't want to start up a third one. So I handed it off to Ian Esty, who put on one show and then never again. So they're open to it. Mandy Lynn's put on at least one show there that I did, so they're open to the idea. So I don't know, could be good. But yeah, it's just trying to crack that nut and see what the magic formula is. I don't know. I don't know if people are staying away. I don't know if because I think we put on a good show on Saturday night. So I don't know if it's a venue thing. I'm just curious to know if different venues will attract different audiences.
I can see that working out in our favor.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm not sure about what happened with the R Bar. How long were you going to see shows before you did one? You've been doing comedy for 13 months now, but
I like how you know that one down to the nose, which is cool. But yeah, 13 months is right.
Well, it's one plus. You told me last year was your you wanted to be on the November one, and that was going to be your anniversary, and then it was taken away from you.
My clever mouse.
So you know, I did that thing where I added 1 to 12 and came up with 13.
Nice. My first one I went to go see actually was Deluxe. That's how I got into your whole atmosphere. Saw that show and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And then convinced me to go to the IR Bar, and I think I watched like 3 or 4. Like, it was, I know after I watched the first one, I was like, I want to do this.
Yeah.
And then it was just getting the nerves, you know. You're a pretty intimidating guy.
Oh, yeah.
You come off, you know, just that. I don't know if you know that about yourself. It's very.
I have heard it, and I'm surprised. Just, I'm not even sure if you're joking or not, but people have. Ben McDonald, I think, found me kind of intimidating when he first met me. I don't know what I'm doing to put off that vibe.
That's why I had to make sure I extra qualified. Like, it's like, come to one show, then you can apply. I was like, I got to come to multiple ones. That way he can't say no. Otherwise, he's breaking his own rules.
That's true. I don't think I've ever said no to anybody at the R Bar. There's been times where people have, I've made a post on Facebook and I had to make some cuts. And there was some people that live in town that had never been to one before. So
for shame.
Don't need that riffraff. I don't know. There's a, I don't know. I feel like if somebody is willing to come out and watch one that they aren't on is, I don't know, a little bit. I want a comedy fan, I guess, more than anything, or at least somebody that's willing to kind of put something into it.
That's how I started. I was a giant comedy fan. I was like, there's comedy in this city. And then there's like No Jokes Barred, and it's like yourself, Mr. Forward. And it's like, oh, he's got two shows going on. He's got a radio program going on. This guy's got it made.
It's an empire.
Yeah, he's setting up franchises. It's a dynasty. So I was a fan first, and then eventually kind of slid into it and used you for Showtime.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm here for. So, David, you've been awfully quiet. What's your take on the whole thing?
Oh, with No Jokes Barred, or
sure, or in general, how did we get on your radar? Did I already ask you this last time? I don't remember.
I don't know.
I think we mostly just talked politics the last time.
Oh yeah, it was election night. But yeah, a friend actually recommended me to, you know, your show. I did one show at Yuck Yucks, and then someone said, "Oh, you've got to get on a No Jokes Barred." Yeah, that's the next step, I guess.
Who was this friend? I need to give them their commission check.
Thane.
Thane?
Okay. Thane Fox.
Thane, where have you been lately? I haven't seen him out anywhere. I think he's a bartender, so generally Friday and Saturday nights is the hot time. He's going to make more in tips than he'll make at any show, no matter how successful it is. So.
Potentially. We don't know that for sure.
Yeah, well, we've got lots of room for growth. What do you guys think I should be looking for in a long-term venue? I ask the two guys that have run one show so far.
Based on my years of experience.
If you want to get technical, all our shows have been packed.
It's true. You've got 100% success rate.
Right.
So that's why I brought you guys in.
We should go. We should
I'll message Brian right now, the owner of Five and Dime.
But as comedy fans, is there anything that that has been missing from the show that you think it would benefit from?
Not off the top of my head. I guess it's beneficial if people are just kind of go to that bar regularly anyways, and it's not just to get plastered.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of like Taco Pico, where it's kind of like a gathering place. Like, it's easier to go somewhere where it's like, oh, we're going to have a meal and there's comedy. And if the comedy is terrible, at least we still have a nice meal.
Yeah. Right. And it is a place where they have performances regularly. So, I mean, people would be expecting like people would be expecting comedy or half expecting it. Like they wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like maybe if during all of the sets we have like a flamenco guitar player. I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. I was like, do go on.
Yeah.
If flamenco guitar, I think, is a thing that exists. I don't know how it differs from regular guitar.
It's pink.
Is it?
It eats shrimp.
Yeah.
Okay.
It stands on one leg.
But yeah, so, the one that that Ian did was on like a Wednesday or a Thursday night, and it was a decent turnout for a weeknight, which is traditionally hard. Also, the right. Five and Dime was pretty good. We'll talk about that some more later when we're done tooting my horn.
It's a good band name.
Yeah, tooting my horn.
No, decent.
Decent turnout.
Decent turnout for a Wednesday or decent night for a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
we have to start a band now.
Yeah, it wasn't promoted very well. I think Ian decided what he was going to charge at the door 30 minutes before the show started. I think he landed on $6 or something weird.
Okay.
And the other again, because I'm a greedy man with my comedy empire. The Arbar did pay for the shows. Foundations, no. But I think if we got better turnouts, they would. Not to talk too much shop, but I guess, you know, I'm going to talk some because I've said that we should be more transparent about this so that when other people are doing stuff, they know what to expect. I was getting $100 from the R bar per show just for putting it on. I'd put that money towards an ad and towards my pocket for my efforts, and usually pay the comics out of the donation bucket that we sent around. We sent the donation bucket around at Foundations and got enough to pay for the $20 comedy ad, and I paid myself $5 and I gave Gislin 10 in gas money to come down from Moncton. Nice. So yeah. But, you know, if we could find somewhere that that would pay us to have it. But I don't expect it from Foundations. They're already paying the bartender. And people didn't seem to be drinking a whole lot. So I don't know how much actual money they made by having people there. But I think if we can get, like, consistently, like, even 20 or 30 people, then they might be able to chip in a little something, make it worth our while. But the ideal thing is to have multiple bars competing and start a bidding war. Who wants to jokes barred?
Yeah, then we can start having like fights because they'll be bidding over what comedian they want hosting the event.
Yeah,
right.
What is a John Forward night worth versus XXX hosting that night? And then there's inner competition, drama. That's what we need.
No, not amongst the comedians. There's going to be some scab that'll be like, "I'll do it for $3.
I'll pay you money."
Yeah. Anyway, that's what's going on with No Jokes Barred. So we'll see what's going on. So I've got one in January at Taco Pica, hopefully a third place in February, and I'm out of ideas after that. So probably pick one, settle down in March. I don't want to be whoring around too much, but you know, eventually we need to pick a consistent spot. But I'll try a few different places and see if the location makes any difference. So let's take a quick break. Austin, you've got a song for us. David, we'll give you some time to think and come back to that later. But do you want to tell us about your song, Austin?
So the artist is Watsky. He's an American poet / rhymer / rapper. I've been following him for a very long time, and the song's just kind of more motivational than anything to me. He's also more of a nerd culture rapper, so I enjoy him.
All right. Did you play Watsky's song last time you were on the show?
I played...
Somebody did, and I recognize it because my friend Ryan, who used to do H to the C with me, was a big fan of it.
Okay, excellent. So. No, I did Gorillaz last time.
Yeah, all right. Somebody previously picked a Watsky song.
I thought I was cool in hipstery.
Somebody did, but let's hear a brief station ID from other fellow non-booked attendee of No Jokes Barred, Arif Hussein, and then we'll play some Watsky, and then we'll be back and hopefully get some more words out of David. Nailed it.
Terrified.
Nailed it.
Terrified.
Nailed it.
Terrified.
You're listening to 107.3 St. John Ford Radio.
Creepier.
Hi. You're listening to 107.3 St. John Ford Radio.
Nailed it.
Terrified.
The moral of the story is till your arms fall off, till your abs get hard, and your moral of the story is till your hands go numb and they cramp in the fans and the stands. Moral of the story is
right till my fingers look like a bouquet of roses. You gotta bring yourself your flowers now in showbiz. Focus, it's Quiet Coyote. Come on, let's go, kids. Everybody get together with a study buddy and then talk about the fuck that I don't give. Because it's so big and explosive, but a lot of people don't live. They don't even get a motive. If you got a goal, you gotta hold on to what hope is. If I didn't have it, I would ask you where the rope is. Work is my church, and so the studio's the closest. I spit it sick until my cootie flows the grossest. Don't be so pissed, just be focused on your own shit. Cause we super Californialistic, sexy, and we knows it. You're not my business, go for number one, not a top five finish. You can have a chicken pot pie, but I'm thinking that I'm gonna have another can of Popeye's spinach. I'm a Rottweiler, pop my collar when I pop my fur. You're on my nerves, but mark my words, gotta put a leg up and then mark my turf.
Work. Our moral of the story is
work.
And the moral of the story is
work.
Till your arms fall off, till your abs get hard.
And your moral of the story is
work.
Till your hands go numb and they cramp in the fans.
Our
stance of the story is
work until I'm black and yellow worker bee. I just work until I'm black and blue and burgundy, burgundy. Work until I earn that rich mahogany. Honestly, can't you tell I'm working? Bitch, don't bother me. Show some modesty if you're watching me. Bitch, is anybody in my way? It's not misogyny. But if you're blocking me, I will soon defeat you. I will build a bridge above you, or I'll tunnel underneath you. I will eat you and excrete you, and I'll feed you to the flowers. If I need to, I'll go through you and absorb your fucking powers. I put in hour after hour, let's be crystal clear. I'm gonna get there if it takes a day or 50 years. I'll finger bang my fears, I'll fucking punch a dragon. Even with the Himalayas in my way, it's gonna happen. Cause waiting doesn't work, and praying may not come through, and hoping doesn't work, so I will be the one to
work.
Our moral of the story is
work.
Our moral of the story is
work.
Till your arms fall off, till your abs get hard.
Our moral of the story is
work.
Till your hands go numb and they cramp in the fans.
Our
moral of the story is.
See me in a glossy photo. No weirdo rock the bells as hard as me since Quasimodo. And maybe someday you might see me in a glossy photo. No weirdos rock the bells as hard as me since Quasimodo. No weirdos rock the bells as hard as me since Quasimodo.
Small household items and gently used clothing and just don't know what to do with them? Join Diabetes Canada's Declutter and Donate Challenge and we'll pick them up for free. Keep your items out of a landfill and help fund diabetes research. You could say what you don't want does a whole lot. Schedule your free home pickup today at declutter.diabetes.ca. That's declutter.diabetes.ca.
That's right. They should really fade out of that thing. It's kind of an abrupt ending. We're back on St. John Forward Radio with Austin Hill and David Miles Holland Hall.
Hey.
Who, David, you just started up a new show. Why don't you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, it's going to be at the Five and Dime once a month on a Wednesday. We haven't really discussed which Wednesday it's going to be, like second, third. That's something I'll message him about, actually. But it's if you pay attention to the Five and Dime Facebook page, it's going to be posted beforehand.
Cool.
Yeah.
I would... If it's up in the air, I would suggest maybe the first Wednesday of the month, because depending on how the days land, that can create the opportunity for a New Brunswick hat trick. You could do Wednesday at the Five and Dime, and the first Thursday of the month is Wilser's Room,
right?
And the first Friday of the month is at O'Leary's.
Okay. Kind of want to alternate it with the Abbey.
Okay. Is that one every 2 weeks, or is it on certain weeks of the month?
It's every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, those 5 week months are gonna throw it off. But yeah.
Actually,
well, that's a good.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You should just pick one. It's only one anyway, and I don't know. It's going to eventually overlap at some point anyway, and once you get into a couple of weird months, it's going to be every time. But those are every 2 weeks, and it's not in the same city. Ideally,
true.
You want to you don't want to cut your potential audience and performers. But I think that one, like out of town, I'm not as concerned about it.
Right.
But So why'd you decide to compete with me and cause No Jokes Bar to get shut down?
Okay, to be fair, I didn't start an open mic until after No Jokes Bar got shut down.
You're right. I think you politely asked for my permission, which you didn't need, but I gave it to you.
Exactly, because I'm a gentleman.
Sure. So why'd you want to start a show?
Well, I mean, Yuck Yuck's shut down. Then No Jokes Bard was kind of up in the air. So for a while, there was only one open mic in all of St. John.
Hmm.
So I just...
You wanted to get in on that failure game.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, it was Matt Keenan's Facebook post in the NB stand-up page that kind of inspired me. He was like, I forget what it said exactly, but, I know you're down, but, try to make things better, like start an open mic...
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, we're trying to rally the troops.
Yeah.
I've been trying on the show for the last little while, but again, I'm still disappointed that all these egomaniacs, they only come out to a show if they're on it. I think, the same thing. Me and Brian, I think, were the only comics at the Five and Dime that weren't on the show.
Okay.
Those lazy people out there in the comedy scene.
Jill Graves, I don't think, was scheduled on there. But she did get you a guest spot.
Okay, fair enough. But but again, we don't expect everybody to come out to every show. And ideally, and there was plenty of people, non-comics there anyway. If the shows were big enough that we didn't need the comics to come out so often, then that's more forgivable. But we're kind of in a period of flux, and having more people in the audience makes it look better to the people that own the place. Whether
the bar owner doesn't know we're all comedians.
Yeah.
Our money's still good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and even aside from that, the more people that are there that are into it and laughing, it makes everybody have a better time, I think.
Yeah, it's fun with extra comedians, too.
Yeah.
You get criticized afterwards,
Oh,
talk shop.
Yeah, we should. I would like us to have more of a. There was many years of just constant beefing and fighting, and we kind of had more of a tight knit community before that, and then it never really recovered fully. And there's still a couple of minor things on the go. No out and out podcast battles or Facebook fights going on that I'm aware of, anyway. But I don't know. I think. Everything would be better if we'd all just all be best friends.
All share our mutual love for laughter and the attention of complete strangers to
right
exactly
satisfy our empty lives.
Yeah. Actually, remember that's something you warned me about, is if you start your own mic, open mic, there will be, like, drama?
Yeah.
Thanks, well, David.
Oh, sorry.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I don't know if that's why, but the common denominator seemed to be in every pairing of beefs that happened to happen, at least one of the people was a show booker of some sort. So it was always like Mark Burnett and a bunch of people, and Shane and me. Who else? Yeah, I guess that's about it. We're just all lunatics. I've gone to therapy and hopefully I'm better, but still one person currently mad at me, but it's not spilling over into the public forum. So anyway,
do you want to talk about it now? You can spill over into public forums if you want to.
No, I'd rather not.
Okay.
Taking the high road on this one.
Okay.
How'd you decide where you wanted it to be, or what kind of a show did you have in mind?
I don't know. It was kind of, when I sort of had an idea of what I wanted in mind, I kind of wanted something like Yuck Yuck's open mic in a lot of ways, just a venue with a lot of non-comedians, just a good place for a first open mic, but also having a couple, like, pretty skilled comedians, mm-hmm. like, in the show, too.
Yeah, he seemed happy with it. I forget who was saying what the owner said. It was like professionals only shorter or something like that.
Which is a good compliment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was a solid show, and that's the kind of thing that I'm kind of batting back and forth. You got to find a good balance between. You want some people that are just at the bar to help grow the audience, but there's also the more, the less on purpose the audience is, the more potential for people to be upset.
Right.
So that's always a gamble. There's been other shows that have just, like I've done, I did a show once at the Snooty Fox in Fredericton. It's a restaurant, and I don't even think it was advertised. It was just a thing, and there's just people eating dinner, and then we just stick a microphone in the middle of the tables.
Surprise.
And start doing a comedy show. And, people don't mind the boring guy with the acoustic guitar playing cover songs in the corner while you're eating your dinner, but comedy is... when people don't like it, they very don't like it.
Surprise, comedy's not everyone's favorite.
No.
But that's why it's inappropriate to say jokes at funerals.
Yeah.
Huh.
So I'm told.
Well, I mean, I owe some people an apology then.
It's good to throw in a tasteful zinger in the eulogy to lighten the mood a little bit. I just watched an episode of BoJack Horseman where he gave a 26-minute long eulogy, and that was the entire episode.
That's pretty funny, actually.
Yeah.
So we're at the Five and Dime. Was there any conversations about like content? Are they squeamish?
Not really. He did tell this one story about I forget the guy's name, but it was just a really raunchy, like, shock jock, as Brian described him.
Was it Jason Rouse?
It might have been.
Because I went to see Jason Rouse there. It was the weekend after Yuck Yucks closed.
Oh, yeah. Did, like, half the audience leave?
Yeah. There was, there was, like, 8 women at the middle table that were there that were just hanging out. And they made them pay the $10 or $15 or whatever it was. And they gave it a try, and they all walked within 5 minutes. And that left about 10 people left. 6 of us were actively paying attention. The other 4 were at the bar with their backs turned. I've never seen him live before, but burping into the microphone.
Classy.
Gross. I'm sorry, fans. And I'm not going to edit it out. That's too much effort. There was 6 of us. The 6 of us who were watching enjoyed the heck out of it, but it was dicey. I think that was a more mellowed out version of Jason Rouse than it would have been for a more raucous audience. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I was honestly, I wanted to check it out just because I'd never seen him before. I think Travis Boyce, he's one of his favorite comedians. He actually did a show at Chuckles last year, the year before, I think. I wasn't able to make it out to that. But he's kind of known as like the hardcore offensive thing, which I like. Sort of. It just depends how it's done. I saw a video of Jason Rouse on YouTube or something, and it seemed like the stand-up comedy version of like the dead baby joke that you'd tell your friends when you're in junior high school, where it's not terribly clever or funny. It's just shocking.
Right.
But I actually really enjoyed when I saw him at Five and Dime, and that might be just because it was a more, like, he certainly was dirty, but it wasn't, he was, you know, fighting the Rome, so he wasn't as aggressively, look at how offensive I am, like he is, and it, I don't know, it just felt more genuine, like that was his sense of humor rather than trying to push people's buttons, I guess. And he did a lot of, he spent probably 20 minutes of his set talking to Charles Freeze Melvin, who's a guy that's been out to a lot of the No Jokes Barred shows, maybe even listening to this show. Shout out, Charles.
Hi, Charles.
I think it's a good thing, and there was lots of people there on Wednesday that had a surprise show breakout around them, and everybody seemed to have a good time. There was that couple that was sitting at the corner of the bar having a loud date or something.
I didn't know what to do with that because I was running the show and I was like, they're talking. And then they get louder when the audience was laughing. Yeah. But they'd adjust accordingly like a couple seconds later after the laughing stopped. So they'd be up high. And then like, I gotta say something or look at them or like stare at them until they realize you should shut up. Yeah. And then they get a little bit quiet. And I was like, well, then I can't be rude to them. It's the first time doing the show here.
Yeah, I was going to ask to go on, but I didn't want to impose. I was going to say something.
I was surprised no one touched it, actually. I thought someone would have, but I wouldn't.
Yeah, well, that's the other dicey thing with a show like that. You don't want to antagonize the regular customers.
We got to make the Five and Dime fall in love with us first.
Yeah.
Right.
And then we can disappoint them consistently.
Yeah.
Like, I certainly antagonize the R Bar customers every chance that I get.
I mean, it might have happened a time or two.
To be fair, they antagonized us, too.
For sure. They hated our guts, and I hated their guts. But, and, you know, I had permission to do so. Like, I had the conversation with the owner. Like, these people are ruining the show, so I need to shut them down. And he's like, I get it. Which he was pretty good. Like, again, I'm complaining about us getting shut down at the R Bar, but the R Bar itself and their clientele was the problem. Glenn, who actually was on this show and the owner of the bar, he was pretty good to me throughout. There'd be times where there'd be a table full of loud people that I anticipated were going to be a problem, and he's come over and like bought them drinks and politely scuttled them out the door down to the Peel pub that he also owned down the street. One time he did try to get us a bouncer who was the drunkest person there with a big group of his friends who were super loud, and he threatened to fight me when I asked them to be quiet. But you don't want to go into a nice place like the Five and Dime and start heckling their audience and actively encouraging people to leave. That's not always a good situation.
Not off the start, definitely not.
Yeah.
Hi, you're like enjoying a relaxing Wednesday. Let us just ruin that real quick for you. Thank you. Come out to the next show. Thanks, guys.
But it is kind of a dick move, though, to like, they were there and they didn't necessarily know that the comedy show was happening. So, like, yeah, finish your drink and have your conversation. But I don't know. Why would you stick around and order a second drink while there's clearly a show going on around you? And
hey, this might get better. It wasn't so good after the first beer. I hate their guts.
And they did not want to watch the show. I don't know. I don't know why you would choose to be at the one place in town where talking to the person that you're with is actively discouraged.
Yeah, fair enough. They hated comedy less than they hated walking. Hey.
I guess so.
It was a cold day, to be fair.
Mm-hmm. Every time?
No, I mean... Oh, I meant at the Five and Dime.
Five and Dime was just nice. We didn't walk anybody. It was good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's. We got like 10 minutes left in the show. Do we want to keep talking, or do you want to play your song, or what do we got? You want to talk about France?
Oh yeah, sure.
All right.
Are you gonna die?
There are riots going on, so
like you picked the worst time to go to France.
Well, to be fair, there weren't riots when I signed up to go.
Okay.
Yeah. Although it's France, so they have riots. Like,
I was gonna say it's France every other year.
Yeah.
It's their thing.
Yeah, it's been happening since like 1796, I think. Like, when was the French Revolution?
After the American Revolution, because America had a treaty with France to help them if they ever did it, and then it happened, and America was like, nope.
Right.
That's all the history I know.
Yes.
That's way more than I know.
That's just from Hamilton the musical. If that's wrong, I just gave out completely wrong information.
I just assumed the entire album was true. Like, I actually think all the founding fathers used to rap.
And were black.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Have you seen the show, or have you just heard the album?
I just heard the album. If I seen the show, I'd be much richer than I am. It's like one of the more expensive things to do in New York right now.
Yeah, that's the...
That's saying something. It's New York.
Yeah, that's with musical. Over the summer, Freddie G was in town from New York, and he was on the show, and he played a song off the Hamilton soundtrack on it. And I meant to go back and listen to the album after that, but I never did. But I don't know. That's the weird thing about Broadway. Like, comedy should kind of be like that, where it only exists live, and if you don't go to the show, you don't get to see it. Because like, there's no. I'm not big into Broadway musicals, but there's been a few things like Hamilton I would like to have seen, like the Book of Mormon and Spamalot and stuff like that. But there's just no way to see it other than going to see it.
And they're sold out for a very long time. Yeah. Let's just scalp it. Are you going to do comedy in France?
I don't know. We'll try to find a venue somewhere. See if I can find like the one English venue in France.
No, you should go to a French venue and then do English and then claim it's art.
Oh, yeah, I could do that.
Yeah, no, are you going to be in a big city? Are you in Paris? Or
Paris,
I don't know any other cities in France.
Good guess.
There's probably a community of Americans and Canadians that live there, and
I
think usually in big cities around the world, there's usually like some sort of a comedy show for expats to hang out at. So yeah, you should definitely look into that. Have you traveled much before this?
Yeah, a bit with my family.
Where have you been?
Italy, Greece. Germany, France, Spain, Cuba, Vatican, if you count the Vatican.
I have never been anywhere. I have been to probably 4 different states in the U.S., and that is it. I haven't even been all the way across Canada. I think the furthest west I've ever been is Toronto.
The problem with that is that it's extremely expensive to do, like, across Canada.
Yeah.
Like, if you wanted to do every one of Canadian ones individually and fly there... It'd be extra, like, it'd be so much more than, like, I want to go on 1-hour trip and I want to spend, like, a week in Mexico and a week here and a week there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the furthest, I think, I went to Vegas once. That was very exotic.
I heard a joke about that.
Yeah. I went down for my friend's 30th birthday, and all my other broke friends flaked out on it, and it ended up just being me and my friend and his girlfriend.
It's kind of his fault for making everyone go to Vegas.
It was a surprise. He actually didn't know where he was going. It was going to be a nice thing that his girlfriend organized, and we were all going to show up and surprise him, but... Instead, he went to Vegas with his girlfriend and like, oh, John Forward's here too.
Yeah, that's actually kind of awkward. Like, if it was a group of friends, that'd be one thing, but it was just you and his girlfriend.
We had a good time. I felt like a third wheel a bit, but they were accommodating. I get along with both of them, so it was not as bad as it could have been. But a couple of years ago, May and I went down to Portland, Oregon for a week.
That's cool.
That was fun, but other than that, I haven't been anywhere other than the Maritimes and Montreal a couple of times and New England. That's about it. So what do you, how does that work? Are you exchanging with somebody? Is there a family that's putting you up, or?
I'm going to be like at an apartment, with a roommate,
from here, or you're going to find one down there?
I'm going to find one. Not sure how that works. Honestly, it might be another international student. I'm honestly not sure.
So is the travel kind of part of the study, or are you just going to be taking the same course as you would be taking here, but in Paris?
I'm actually going to be taking a lot of electives when I'm in Paris. Like, I'm doing a double major, and you can't really do sociology or psychology in a lot of universities in English, so...
So a baguette making?
Oh, yeah.
Wine yeah. drinking?
Oh, yeah. Probably a bunch of economics courses. I like economics. Yeah.
So what, or what'd you say your majors were, what did you say? Sociology and,
psychology.
Cool. So, what kind of, do you have your course list? Like what else, what are you taking up there other than economics? Are you figuring that out when you get there?
Just figuring that out when I get there. Yeah. It's this
you're winging a lot of like this, like you're going across the country or across the world to a country that's primary language isn't the same as your own. Yep. And you're like, I'll figure stuff out when I get there.
Do you speak any French? Did you take immersion?
Up until grade 10.
Okay. So that's starting when, like grade one, is that how it works these days?
Grade six. Do they still have late immersion? Like they keep getting rid of it. Then they keep bringing it back. It's hard to keep track of.
It yeah, existed I when I was in school, like when we started probably, because you're only a year behind me. And then they got rid of it. And then they made it so grade five, every kid had to go half English, half French.
Oh, yeah.
And then in grade six, you could decide which lane you wanted to pick.
Yeah.
When I was in school, I started in grade one and went right through. I actually, I lived in Moncton from like age two to like seven or something. So my kindergarten, half of grade one was in Moncton. So I actually had... French immersion kindergarten, which I don't think is a thing here, went right through until 12th grade. But I found, I was in school with the same people right up until 9th grade. Well, obviously some came in and out, but it was mainly the same group. And by the time I got to high school, there was a big difference between the people that started in early immersion and the people that started in like 6th grade. Just the accents were terrible, and I don't know.
Then there'd be me who only took French when I had to, and just butcher the language.
Yeah, and I feel bad because I've kind of I haven't used it hardly at all since 12th grade, and I've kind of like I could still read it probably, and I can understand. I went up and did a show in Bathurst a couple of weeks ago, and I could understand Nathan. I could understand Nathan, and Nathan does a thing where he kind of goes back and forth.
Right.
And I could understand one of the other comics. Most of the time, one of them talked way too fast, and I had no idea what he was talking about. But, yeah, it's a weird thing. Like, even early immersion, the people that I learned French from were English people, so they had a certain accent to it. So it's hard to to follow that. But
that's the thing. I found an immersion I could almost speak French, but just to English people.
Yeah.
It's almost like we had our own little dialect of French.
Yeah, and then you're going to France, which is its own version of French on top of that. So so you're getting like secondhand Canadian French and then going right into the full on thing. So that'll be interesting.
I'm hoping to improve from there.
I hope so. I'm just gonna go for a semester, like I couldn't pick up the language. Yeah. I failed everything, and my roommate was not from France or Canada, he was from Japan. So we didn't understand each other either. We could only speak French to each other, and we didn't understand. We weren't good at it.
All right. Well, I hate to cut you guys off, but we're running out of show. So the Five and Dime, when's the next one? Is there a date?
Not yet.
That's up to me. I'm taking over the show. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
All right. So next 2 weeks is going to be an H to the C classic from our Christmas episode from December 2002. So look forward to that for the next 2 weeks. Punk ass 20-year-old John Forward, and then I'll be back in January. First show of the year, No Jokes Bar Deluxe. Oh no, it's not called No Jokes Bar Deluxe anymore. It's Uptown Comedy Deluxe on January 4th. I'm gonna headline it. Martin Saulnier's on it. Chanel Frere and Sam Laidman. This has been St. John Forward Radio. Thank you, Austin Hill and David Hall, for coming in.